Vanderbilt tonight. Total barrel job in Hoover. Round one of the SEC tournament for the Vols, and Tennessee will play the LSU-Kentucky winner tomorrow evening in Hoover. And wow, what a dominant performance. This team just humming along. Remember when we were having these weird conversations a month or so ago? It's like, man, is this team running out of steam? They're not playing as well as they were at the beginning. And since then, a dominant performance in the sweep at Mississippi State, a dominant performance in the win over Vanderbilt tonight. And we'll see what they have coming out there tomorrow. But Tennessee gets it done this evening as they beat the Vandy Boys 10-1. It was five runs in the bottom of the third inning for Tennessee. And then they sprinkled in a run here or there throughout the game. 10 hits, no errors. Vandy, five hits, four errors in the game for the Commodores. As we bring in Bear. Bear, what is it about Tennessee that just brings in the worst? We turn these guys into the bad news Bears. You remember them losing flies in the light in Nashville, and they're just booting the ball all over the place tonight out there. Wouldn't have mattered, but still, it's like
we're
intimidated by Tennessee swagger.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely in their heads. Vandy boys. Yeah, I mean, that was obvious once. But that's kind of been their MO all year. I mean, it's because our pitching's been so dominant all season. Once we get three or four runs out, I mean, it really dials up the pressure on the other team. And Vanderbilt just, they're not very good. So the one thing I thought about right here in the top of the ninth, I was thinking back about the season, and you know, you had just mentioned how it felt like we were running out of steam, but as the season's played out, Russell, I think what it was the teams that we thought at the beginning of the year that were, you know, like Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, were both, you know, I mean, Ole Miss was number one. I don't know that they were good as some of the teams we saw at the end of the year in series. They were definitely playing better. So, I mean, this tonight was just a big statement game. What we saw April 1st weekend in Nashville is the difference between Tennessee and Vanderbilt.
So Tidwell goes tonight and looks sharp. 76 pitches, only gives up three hits, one earned run, three walks. A little, I'm not going to say erratic, but it took a while. You know, his first inning, his control was, he walked a guy. It was just kind of, But he settled down and pitched well, was touching 97 with regularity. And I still think he's, you know, we haven't seen him throw 90 or 100 pitches yet this year. So he's still kind of building up to it. And we'll see what he does in the regional. I would be surprised if he doesn't get the ball first in our first NCAA tournament game. But now the question becomes, what do you do tomorrow?
So we got the winner of LSU-Kentucky?
Yeah.
I think it really probably depends on the scout and, you know, whoever ends up winning this game and whoever we face might have a bit to do with it. I don't know if you go with Doe, with Dolander. I mean, do you go Beam or Burns or?
I have no idea, man. I mean, I'm with you. I think part of it might depend on the scout. If you get Kentucky, and remember how badly we wanted them again, you might consider throwing Beam or Burns and saving Dolander.
Yeah.
For like as long as you can. But keep in mind, if he pitches Sunday, you got to wait to pitch. You might have to wait to pitch him a little bit later next week. So this is the calculus you got to.
Yeah, I mean, it's roll with, yeah, Tony B. And but I thought, and that was another thing I thought they did really well tonight was completely spread the load around the bullpen. So I mean, you know, running guys. who got up the highest out of our relievers? Kirby, as far as pitch counts?
Yeah, he threw 32 pitches, 17 for Sewell, 11 each for Mabry and Joyce. So those guys, I mean, they're all good, right? I mean, any of those guys could pitch again tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, and that you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's so much stuff, and I guess the more I've learned about it the past couple of years getting back into baseball is just the, you know, the game within the game, you know, watching how he manages, how we manage our bullpen and our arms and all that stuff. So I'm feeling what pretty about, good. This is a great way to start the postseason, yes, though.
Yeah, fantastic. And what a bomb from Cortland Lawson.
God, has that thing landed yet?
Just an absolute piss missile over the left center field wall. Solo shot in the eighth during the middle of the Greg Vitello interview, which is pretty phenomenal as well.
But
how it's
eerie.
Googly-eyed and starstruck was that sideline reporter interviewing Tony Vitello.
Oh, yeah. Starstruck.
Shout out to Mark Packer, who noted he posted a picture of her just looking at him with, you know, the way all the cute girls in middle school used to look at me, Bear, just all googly-eyed.
Hey, they're showing old Bev from Twitter.
Noted the stark contrast to the way she looked at Tim Corbin and inning or two earlier. Tim Corbin cuts the figure of a defeated man. I mean, can we just go ahead and say,
dude, you know what I thought when I was looking at him? I thought he was going to, yeah, I'm sorry, I got to end this interview. It's time for my Metamucil. You know, he's an old goat, man.
How uninspiring. I mean, if that's your leader, you're in that dugout.
I'm running through a brick wall for that, dude.
8-1, 7-1, whatever it is. And you hear that. She asks him what you need to do to get back in the game. And like, well, we just got to get back to first base. And he's pitching good. He's making some good pitches. And just like, geez, dude.
He absolutely cannot. He will never say anything positive or complimentary. And quite frankly, I don't ever care that he does. I probably wouldn't like it. He's just an old bastard. And I'm glad that we're the ones stomping on his throat and sending him out. Vitello's going to run him out of the SEC.
Well, between Vitello and the SEC and the rest of college baseball, the rest of the Power Five potentially expanding scholarship availability,
yeah,
and going full scholarship, I mean, that takes away their biggest advantage, recruiting tool, whatever you want. And, I mean, I still think they have a nice program and everything, but, I mean, they have had a couple of dominant teams, last year included, over the last dozen or so years, and I think those days are over for them.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to collect, you know, just because of what you said. I mean, it's going to be more of a level playing field now. And, you know, it just two programs on two different trajectories right now. So, but I mean, it hadn't been that long ago, man. It was because I remember, I think the year that they won it in 2019, right?
They won it back to back. And I want to say, I thought it was like 17, 18, but it might have been 18, 19. I'm not sure.
I mean, I know they were in it because that was that week, the one time, remember the big beach vacation. And that's what we watched every night was the World Series. And it sucked because I was having to watch Vanderbilt win it. But, I mean, yeah, I've had some incredible teams, but I don't know what they're going to do. But there is definitely a big gap. I mean, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you got to be pretty miserable right now, right?
Shout out to Tennessee fans who had the Vandy Whistler flummox.
Yes.
Why didn't we think of this earlier, Bear? Why didn't we think of this earlier? The best way to, you don't shut him up, but you at least negate him. And he's left in a no-win situation because every time he whistles, you get hit with a go big orange and it comes into, first of all, it's not a thing that I think the Vanderbilt guys rallied around. We've talked about how their fans find it obnoxious. I think their players and coaches probably find it obnoxious. And now not only is it obnoxious, but at least when they're playing Tennessee, It's been turned into a rallying cry for the opponent. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, it was incredible. When I heard it, I was like, holy shit, perfect. And they were doing it perfect, too, with some gusto. Go big orange. Oh, yeah.
You didn't hear him as much. Like, I know they're getting their ass kicked to begin with, but I feel like he figured out, is like, wow, this is actually working against my team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, finally, it finally dawned on him. The Whistlers, they'll never make sense to me, man. There's nothing more obnoxious that you can do to go to a ballpark and ruin what, you know, both teams, all the fans in the park, regardless of team. There's just something about going to a baseball game. And you got to be that big of a dick to sit there and ruin it for everybody in the park.
By the way, shout out to alert listener Mike Gregory, who clued me into this little nugget too. So think every time the Vandy Whistler sticks his grubby little fingers into his mouth, he is representing the seventh highest rate of STD transmission university in the country. Vanderbilt is 2.48%. 855 Vandy students out of 100,000 have a sexually transmitted disease at any point in time. I mean, these are the kind of people that we're dealing with here, Bear, just animals.
I mean, in the post-pandemic era of just life here on our planet, you just stick that dude will get monkeypox. Oh, yeah, you asked me about that the other day. That's the kind of person.
And he's still going to show up to the damn stadium whistling, putting his
with weeping, pus-filled,
boiled fingers into his mouth.
Yeah.
Like boils bursting open on his lips, just like goo dripping down his mouth.
Yeah, like a damn leper.
Going up there for a hot dog, grabbing your mustard bottle, the communal mustard bottle up there. I mean, these are the kind of people we're dealing with. Animals.
I mean, he sits right behind the Vandy. That's got to be mad. There's no way. I mean, I can't stand Corbin. Everybody knows I hate Vanderbilt. But in that way, I don't understand. Like, if I was Corbin, I would have already had the athletic department. I don't care how much money somebody gives. You can't have, I mean, that. How can you think? Could you imagine being 10 feet away from that dumbass?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be obnoxious. You're getting your tails kicked by your in-state rival, and like this guy's whistling. It's like, yeah, buddy, can we give it a rest here? Like, we got it. We got it. We're doing our best. Oh, man. All right, we're not going to do a marathon here. We're in it for the long haul, though, pretty much every game from here on out until we win the College World Series. We're going to be with you post-game, voluntary reaction, Tennessee baseball edition. If you want to speak on it, request to speak, we come to you. We ask you to keep your comments 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes. If you're really on a roll, we might give you 5 minutes, but we're going to try and keep this thing moving so that we can all go to bed, go to work tomorrow, and get up and kick LSU or Kentucky's ass tomorrow night so that we can be right back here on Twitter Spaces doing it again. Like Steely Dan.
But let's tonight, get Adam, Russ, in here.
What?
We drink tonight, Russ. We drink from the keg of glory.
The keg of glory is tapped as we bring you in. Adam, you're up first. We give you a red solo cup. We'll fill you up here, brother. Go ahead.
Russell Bear, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Hickman?
Oh, it's Hickman.
Yeah. So I had an event to go to tonight, and I wasn't really expecting to get to catch much of this game, and I was a little worried. You know, you sit around for 2 days longer than you should have to play a game. And I get out, I check my phone, and we're kicking Vanderbilt's ass.
Just a curb stomping.
My thought is, I want to know what Aria Grayson down there at Vanderbilt's thinking right now.
Who?
That girl who just ran her mouth all year long about Tennessee not being able to catch Vandy's SEC record of perfection, 27-3, whatever it was.
Oh, she's the one. She's the one who tweeted out, you know, the tweet about losing to Kentucky.
You would. Yeah, she's a Vanderbilt beat writer, but yet she tweets about Tennessee 9 times out of 10.
Well, all I can tell her is another historic record came down. It's been 28 years since we've beaten Vanderbilt 4 times in 1 year in baseball.
And we
hang the damn banner, Russell.
Boys, I'm just gonna throw it out there. We're winning the whole damn thing this year.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
I'm not getting ahead of myself. I think that is a reasonable expectation to put on this team right now.
It's a long way to go, man.
It is the expectation. It is the goal. All right, here. It's the goal. It's not the expectation.
What?
Is that fair, Bear? We talked a lot about this on our show today. It's the goal, not the expectation. If we don't make it to the final series, if we don't win it all, I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to say we didn't meet expectations. We did not achieve our ultimate goal, our ultimate objective. But in the end, there can only be one Highlander and there can only be one national champion. So it takes a little luck.
Was this Tidwell's best outing of the year?
It wasn't as long a performance, but he was really good at the end of that third game at Mississippi State. I mean, he was like something different about him that game, and he was pretty good tonight. So I think his best game is ahead of him to this year.
I agree.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I agree with you. You're starting to hear his pitches pop when they hit Russell's glove. There's that snap. It feels like he's getting his old snap back, where he's just dealing and just smacking it. So,
all right, Hickman, I know you got to be up early, man. We're going to let you go. Thank you.
Early morning. You boys have fun tonight.
All right. See you, bud.
Adam Hickman. He started out with us, Russ. Look at him now.
Flying high. He's spreading his wings like a mighty eagle and soaring.
Still screwing up podcasts.
Let's get Brandon in here next. What's up?
What's
Brandon?
Up? Gotta love beating Vanderbilt 4 times in a season. I don't know when the last time that happened was.
1994.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I mean, this has been a great season. I'm enjoying every minute of it. Battered Vol fan syndrome is coming into play a little bit for me, though. Are we worried at all that we haven't played yet, and tomorrow we will, any of the SEC teams that are above 500 except for Auburn? In the league?
Well, I am now, because I didn't know that until you said it, Brandon, you big jerk.
Sorry.
Bear, are we worried that we have not been tested amongst the stiffest competition this conference has to offer?
No, I mean, who have we not played? A&M, LSU, and Arkansas?
The other top three teams in the league.
Yeah, but we're going to probably see – I mean, I don't know. I think we're going to play LSU tomorrow night. Might be wrong on that. So, no, I'm not worried about it.
Well, and all those teams are going to be gunning for us. They're so much more excited to play us than we will be to play them.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I kind of had in the back of my mind as we, what Vanderbilt's asked for the fourth time this year. 3 times on their field and 1 neutral site beating down nonetheless. So it just feels good.
We faced some of the better hitters in the league. I mean, no, we didn't play those 3 teams, but, you know. No. I don't agree with that.
Okay, I mean, that's the only thing, again, as a battered Vol fan, that's the only thing that comes into my mind at times. But, yeah, I mean, we've, like you said, we've played some of the better hitters. We've touched up some of the better pitchers, like the guy from Georgia that, you know, we put the hammer down on. So, but I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that, so I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, Russ, after we talked to Christopher – or Christopher Gabriel early today. I've had some thoughts about that. Just us as a fan base, but tied into the, you know, the percentage, us being number one in the SEC as far as, you know, all around success as an athletic department.
I say it's Russell? The goal. It's not the expectation.
That's one of the, in all the years I've known you, I can immediately, I mean, that's perfect. You know, the perfect way of looking at it. It's a goal, not the expectation.
Thank you, Brandon. As we move through another stellar edition, it looks like the Warriors are closing out the Mavs, and Luka does not look happy. He looks frustrated. He's 2 of 13 tonight. You know the stat about Luka in elimination games. This has been a anomaly.
Yeah. I mean, it's looking, I mean, it's not the Lakers, but it's looking like we're getting an old school East Coast, West Coast finals, though.
I like it. Yeah, it'd be a good matchup. Joshy Boy is next. What's up, Joshy
Boy? Yeah, before I get to the game tonight, hopefully I have some money on the Celtics winning all. I have a futures on the Celtics.
Nice.
Yeah.
What kind of odds you get for that?
Got him at plus 1,100 odds.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah, but guys, great win tonight against Vandy, beating them four times since, was it 93 or 94?
94, I believe. That's what I've been told.
Who's?
Oh, it was, yeah, 94.
Who's to say that we don't play them again in the SEC tournament and beat them five times, you know?
How much fun would that be? Just either that or meet up with them, you know.
So can one of you guys explain this to me? And I am a dumbass, so this might be impossible to explain to me. But, like, we played the game today that was supposed to happen yesterday, right?
Yes.
What are we going to have to play twice in a day? Like, how are they going to make up that day before Sunday?
So they probably should have made an just ripped the Band-Aid off this morning and gone immediately to the rest of the weekend. It's just going to be single elimination because as it stands right now, I saw a tweet about it earlier. I think it's after tonight. They have to play 11 games in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So somebody's probably going to end up having to play two unless they do something, you know, unless they try and
we're starting two tomorrow.
Well, I think I'll have to go look for it. There was some rumors that I'd seen online that starting tomorrow, it could go single elimination.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, that's the one that made the most sense. It's like, look, it's Friday, single elimination, loser goes home. I'd be fine with that. You can't ask any of these teams to play two games in one day the weekend before the regionals. That's just not fair.
It's not fair.
No, it's not.
And that leads me to my first question. Do any of these SEC teams have anything to play for, like to host a regional, say like LSU or Texas A&M?
I think there's still some bubble teams. Who won or the game before ours?
Texas A&M did.
Oh, yeah, A&M.
Housed them.
But tonight, guys, what did you think about that Jarrell Ortega bat? He kept battling.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, where he worked there. The walk. I mean, it's the best walk I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a 15 pitch walk. It was incredible.
Then Gilly comes up and knocks in an RBI base hit. I love that, man. Drew Gilbert is my favorite player on the team. I love Gilly.
Yeah, I do as well. But the Ortega at bat, that at bat, that's what turned the game.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, that was the moment when that deal went down, and
we didn't really cash in like we should have that inning, but.
They made a
pay in the third. That was the turning point. Vanderbilt just couldn't get out of their own way. They had a couple of time chances to get out of it and booted the ball around. I love Gilbert. Just the aggressiveness of the team, his two first pitch hits, and even in the bottom of the second when we had that play where Luke Lipsius, or Lips Lucius, as we're calling him, and shout out to Roberto's daughter for coining that. I don't mind the aggression there. Going for, you got a chance to score a run, you take it. He had a bad slide. It was a good play by the Vandy guy, and he's just kind of slow. He had run a long way from first base there, but I don't mind him going for the base there. You got a chance to score, take it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Russ. And two things out the door. I'm glad we shut up the Vandy Whistler tonight, and he really didn't have anything else to say after the second inning. And my comment out the door is, I'm predicting it's going to be us versus Arkansas Sunday in the championship game. Vols by 10 runs. Have a good night.
Thanks, Josh, boy. Yeah, how about the stain on Lips's shirt after the I like the ump bait had a
what that ump say like
a beached whale.
It was funny because that field, I can't believe the field has held up as well as it has.
He didn't even make it to the plate, honestly.
No, but that the dirt and the base pass, I mean, they're pretty much running in mud.
Willie Mays Hayes coming up a little bit short, and the guy's like, come on.
Yeah,
you're almost there.
I mean, it's I felt for him. I've looked that stupid before, and then end up flopping on the ground in front of God and everybody. Yeah,
well, and you also got to think we probably practice sliding at home on our turf field all the time. We don't have dirt to slide on, so first of all, they're not used to sliding on dirt. Second of all, they're not used to sliding on mud. And it was all tacky and sticky there around home plate. And it's just like he laid out chest first and then just stuck as soon as he hit the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Like his launch point, you could tell that, that's probably if he's at home and it's dry, he's probably safe. He's sliding right in there underneath that thing. But had he not belly flopped, he probably could have scored and blown that guy the hell up. I did notice. I went back and rewound and watched it. I was like, man, if he doesn't flop and he just runs through that dude, he would have mowed him down. I mean, Lipsius is a monster.
I think Lipsy looks just like Houston Kress myself. It's astonishing.
Kress wishes he looked as good as Lipsy.
Why don't you shut up, asshole?
Oh,
what you brought? Good. Kress,
nice to talk
here
to you too, Houston.
Oh, a little sneak attack, boys.
Sneak attack too.
Hey, real quick, Trey Lipsius is your SEC Player of the Year. That barehanded throw to first base is the best defensive play I have seen in the league this year. It's not even close.
That's got to suck if you're sitting in the other dugout. That dude barehanded it, shifted it in his hand.
Did you see the slow-mo version when they replayed it? And it's got that side spin off the grass, and it hits like his thumb and rolls into his palm, and he's just like,
He rolled
Fuck
the
you
damn thing,
as he throws it to first base on a damn rope.
He rolled it. I watched it in super slow-mo.
I think I've watched it 100 times tonight.
He rolled the ball like a casino chip.
Dude.
And then he just roped it.
You know who never has to do that? Sonny DeShera. You know who never has to do that? Dylan Cruz. Trey Lipscomb actually has to play defense other than the first baseman and the center fielder. Like, this guy has to play two positions. He has to hit and he has to play defense. How they got to split it is the most ridiculous thing ever, I think. Maybe I'm biased, but it's...
You're definitely biased, but I think we probably use it.
Of course I am.
We you're the Vol rumor mill. Yes, you're biased, Houston. But I think
I'm not wrong.
I think it's a good thing because I could guarantee you that Vitello has used it for motivation as a tactic, not only for Lipscomb, but for the entire team. Oh, look, they're hating on our boy, our guy, the fourth-year senior who stood and waited his turn behind I've already forgot the guy from last year, excellent third baseman, Rucker. And he comes out, and now they won't even give him his due. They won't even give him his due. And it's, I guarantee you, that's a rallying cry for the entire clubhouse.
No, Russell, he definitely did, because if anybody rallies the clubhouse, who's the first guy that's going to be pissed off about it? Drew Gilbert. And what did Drew Gilbert do to start tonight? He just ropes two as hard as he could possibly swing and gets two RBI in his first two at-bats. Like, yeah, like we were pissed off. And when is this team at their best? When they're pissed off. And they were pissed off tonight. Not necessarily at Vanderbilt, because we've already swept them. Like, we have put them beneath us. But, yeah, like, and that was my worry. Like, does this team come out tonight? Do they have a fire? Are they, you know, and you saw the video, I think you guys probably did, with Kirby Cannell and Camden Sewell in the hotel room, like, we're ready to play. We're ready to play. We're not playing today. Were they going to be bored? Were they going to come out a little sluggish? And they didn't. Like, this team came out tonight ready to go, and it was so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were just loose. And over the years in, like, football and basketball, we've had, like, big moments like this with really good teams where they came out flat or tight. And, I mean, this was just a really – this is a great way to start the postseason, coming out loose, just taking care of it, just hammering. Just do a hammer job. And not like some one of those, like that 27 outburst kind of deal. We just came out and just steady hammered Vanderbilt for 9 innings.
Total barrel job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bend them over a barrel and show them the 50 states. I mean, they might be done. I'll be interested to see how they come out tomorrow. I mean, that's, you lose to your in-state rival like that. That's not one you just shake off.
And I'm trying to think. It was 5-3, 5-2, and 5-0. Or maybe it was 6-2 in the first game. I mean, we were just kind of figuring ourselves out in the first series when we swept them. And we didn't hit the home runs until late. Like, I don't want to say we small balled them, but, like, we played baseball tonight. You know, this wasn't gorilla ball where we're just bouncing them out of the park and getting a big lead. Like, we played baseball.
We haven't even mentioned the Blake Burke Oppo taco bomb.
That dude is as Kyle Peterson said, that dude is a freak.
I mean, he might be a future SEC player. He might be a future National Player of the Year candidate. I mean, just what a swing, dude. Picture perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's Ken Griffey Jr. Like, I'm sure. Have you seen the side by side?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's Ken Griffey Jr. that's white with a goatee. Like, it's unbelievable the similarities between their swing. It is crazy. And yeah, he goes oppo tonight. and they zoomed in on where they thought the ball would land, and I still don't know how far it actually went because the ball was not in the shot. He's ridiculous. And then good for Cortland, because Cortland had been on a little bit of a slide, and he bust one. Still need.
Damn, he busted the damn cover off of that one. I think that may have been one of the – that's been one of the most impressive, like – and probably because, you know, we've got proper, like, cameras, enough cameras, and right, they can really follow that thing. That was a fucking moonshot. So, I mean, hell, even the – you know, I can't remember the kid's name, the Vanderbilt kid. I mean, he dented the hell out of that damn scoreboard. Oh,
that was a that dude.
That was a good shot.
There's, yeah, he's a big leaguer.
Yeah, well, I mean, that thing was going a lot. If it hadn't hit the scoreboard, it wasn't landing.
Did you guys watch the Auburn game yesterday? Like, I kind of hate him right now. The same with Dylan Cruz. But did you guys see Sonny DeShera's shot yesterday?
No.
I mean, it was a major league hit, home run.
Dude, I haven't seen the, like, metrics on it, the exit velocity and angle. I mean, that thing landed in the damn parking lot. I mean, it was a shot. I mean, they lost to Kentucky, but it was a damn beam.
Who do we want to play tomorrow? Because if LSU wins, you know, we'll turn that whole Dylan Cruz thing. Like, our guys will be wanting to rip his damn throat out.
Right.
And just for Lipscomb. But playing Kentucky, oh, man, I would love to run rule their ass. Just 10-0, seventh inning, see you guys later. Go back to Lexington. You're done.
You know, Russ, if it was Maneri, I would say we want LSU. But the fact that Kentucky was the only team to take a series from us this year, and it was at Kentucky, and it was rainy and cold. And then we
played like absolute dog shit.
Those first two games were crap. But we actually, if I'm not mistaken, we outscored them for the entire series because we beat their ass in the third game. I think these guys would want Kentucky to say, like, hey, yeah, they beat us in a series at their place, but they had, like, the extended game, the delayed game. But when we finally got to play in some kind of sunshine, you know, when it wasn't pouring rain and freezing cold, we beat their ass. So I would say I'd like Kentucky to win tonight as they pop out for the first out in the first right now. And that's just me, because I don't know that we have not played LSU this year. And last year was so different with LSU. Like, we had a vendetta after that first meeting when Maneri was like, oh, these fans are, oh shit, what'd he say? They're nasty. These nasty fans. I think our guys would be much more fired up to play Kentucky as the team to take a series from us than LSU that we haven't seen with a new coach.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that'd be a barrel job waiting to happen.
And I welcome that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be sunny and hot tomorrow. So, you know, it's going to be hot tomorrow night down there. The weather's supposed to be great from here on out. And, yeah, I think it'd turn out a lot differently for them. So, but then you also run the risk of, you know, we'll see how they look here in a little bit. But Kentucky's one of the – I mean, they definitely looked good yesterday. So,
well, and I think that's the weird part about the SEC this year is I still think this league is very good. I just think we've been so much better than everyone else in the league. Like, Kentucky is not a bad squad. Like, they just caught us at kind of the right time at their place with the right weather. And I don't think they're bad. I don't.
They handled really us the right way. We weren't at our peak motivation for that either, and that's just not
at all
be a problem from here on out.
At all, right, Russ? Like that series sucked. Like, we went up against the worst team in the SEC at the time, at their place, and we all know Lexington is a dumpster fire. It was like 54 and raining.
Like, we just wanted to get out of there.
Like 30 people in the stands, and then
great point.
And here's the thing that worries me is that somebody else, another team we play, at some point is going to give it. Like, they dead-handed us. They would not feed into. They wouldn't gas us up.
Exactly. Like, anything they did well, they didn't celebrate it. They just sat there and were like,
the dugout.
Yep. Like, yep, we're just here doing our and we need that motivation. We need a team to say, like, bleep you, you know? Yeah. Like, we need that fire. We need someone to flip a bat towards our dugout or hit our batter. Like, we need that stuff. And Kentucky, to their credit, was just like, nope. We're just going to play baseball in these miserable conditions that we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, and other teams have pretty much copied that, which is probably smart. But at this point, like, you're in postseason, so I just don't think motivation is going to be a huge issue. By the way, guys, Vitello was saying just a few moments ago that Chase Dolander will get the start tomorrow night against the winner of LSU and Kentucky.
Game over. That dude's a freak.
And here's the thing, guys. Like, if we do have hot bats, you could conceivably have a 7-inning complete game.
Yep.
Which, I mean, some people might think that's kind of dumb to even talk about, but
that's something that
this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, you need to we don't need to leave people stranded on base. We don't need to hit in the double plays. I mean, that needs to be, especially this weekend. You got to keep that in the back of your mind. If your bats are hot, get out 10 runs.
Yep. Save the arms. Save the
bullpen. Exactly. Save your bullpen everybody. Post-game
media session today, they asked Drew Gilbert about what it was like to go 4-0 against Vanderbilt this season. Vitello cut Gilbert off, said he was scared every time Gilbert opens his mouth.
I don't First of all, I don't blame him, but I watched Gilbert and Evan Russell on the SEC Network post game, and they were good. They were fine. You know, they weren't derogatory or negative
they
towards.
Well behaved.
Yeah, they were. They were good. But I've also seen Drew and a couple others when they get in front of the local cameras and they get a little bananas, and it's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have said that. But honestly, every time someone's done that for us, they've also. Like, the team's backed it up. So I get why Tony would tone him down. You know, hey, guys, you know, I'm going to cut you off. But really, every time that's happened all year, they've backed it up. You know, they've gone out and played great baseball. So
did you guys not notice, you know, the umpire was wired and it kept throwing me. I kept, you know, I didn't realize it at first. So you're hearing his ball strike calls. But the other thing I heard, it was in the middle of an inning. And I know that he was talking to our guys and he was telling everybody, you know, to cut it out now. So
really, I didn't catch that.
The field there is really well mic'd. You can hear a lot of stuff if you turn
your TV up. Yeah. Except when we got to play, you know, I mean, and now we're back to the whistler. So, I mean, at least tomorrow night, we won't have to hear that.
First of all, how about the Vol fans tonight, like, completely neutralizing the whistler? When he did three whistles, he got a Go Big Orange in return. He would try two whistles, and he got Go Vols. And he would try one whistle, and he got Vols. Like, our fans tonight neutralized the whistler.
Well, I think it should be a blueprint for the rest of the SEC.
100%.
Yeah, like, Alabama, Roll Tide, you know, War Eagle, Go Cats. I mean, anybody that has to play them and just run those guys out into their house where they belong.
Right. And again, like, you know, if they're winning big, you're not going to be able to do that because the fans aren't going to be as into it. But tonight, as soon as he started whistling, you know, he would give his stupid little beep, 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 and it was Go Big Orange. And then it was like, you could tell that guy was like, well, I don't want to whistle again and get another Go Big Orange. He was stunned.
He was genuinely flummoxed.
Dumbfounded. It was awesome. Finally, some team, and it happened to be us, the best team in the country. You know, our fans were like, hey, you're not going to just ruin this game tonight. I love it. It's amazing.
the fan base that refuses to settle strikes again in the name of justice. I'm getting Justin Hanna in here.
Hey boys, I don't want to step on your all show. I just wanted to call in and say what an awesome night for Tennessee baseball. Great performance. I was worried about a lull. You know, they've been sitting in the hotel room for 3 days, 4 days. They bust straight from Starkville to Hoover, and they came out tonight and had a damn, you know, piss and vinegar attitude, and I loved it. So have a great rest of the show. I'm going to be listening. Y'all are the best. I love you, except Bear. Suck it.
Well, wow. I mean,
I guess you're saying he loves me.
You know what? Good day, sir.
Can you feel the love, Justin Hanna? Can you feel
Bear,
the love?
I love you. You know that, buddy.
Yeah, it's because I don't like Tool. I mean, they're shit band.
Who the hell does? Besides him,
Chris and the his fellow cult members.
God, when I was in high school, it was like the damn emo kids, like cutting their wrists and shit. Listening.
I mean, to get mad at our age because I don't like the band that you like. It's bizarre to me, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that. What do you think about this baseball team, Justin Hanna?
We're just on fire. I'm kind of glad we didn't run through them tonight. I'm glad we made them suffer. I mean, through 9 innings of it. I mean, that especially that dumbass Whistler. I mean, just for him to sit there and watch that for 9 innings, that was just glorious right there. I'll be honest with you, I hope we get Kentucky tomorrow because I've been sitting here watching them. They're kind of I know they're copycats. They stole our checkerboard. But, like, have you seen, like, they've got, like,
mullet chain
they put on the home runs and all that?
Yeah.
And the stupid dance. I mean, what the hell is that?
Oh, where they're, like, sitting on the rail or something?
Yes. I mean, of course, it's Kentucky. I mean, there's probably drug abuse somewhere with their parents, and you know, when they were conceived and everything, so that makes sense. So, was that too much?
No, I want to see Drew Gilbert knock one 450 feet over the scoreboard, flip the bat into the press box, grab his crotch, and moonwalk all the way across around the bases and just let them bathe in it, Justin.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm still pissed off about dropping that series to them. We should have never, I'm with you. The weather was shit that weekend. I mean, that's the only thing
I didn't blame it on the weather, man. I mean, we went up there and laid an egg as a damn baseball team.
Oh, it was bad.
Those guys, we should have blown them out. Mm. Driving rain, snowstorm, a volcanic eruption, tsunami, nuclear meltdowns. There's no way that team should not have won that damn series from us.
That's on us. Well, I'll say this too about tomorrow too. Arkansas. I mean,
how funny. That's who I want a piece of.
Well, I kind of want to pace them, but also I think it'd be hysterical if they got bounced. I mean, just considering how annoying their fan base has been for the last, all season.
I mean, I don't really care much about this weekend at all, but if we're there, and since we're there, like, I really want a shot at those guys. I want to pop them.
That'd be fun, but I would say this now. If we could somehow play Alabama in the championship game on their home turf and win it. I mean, that would be pretty damn sweet too, Bear.
And nothing like Arkansas, man.
No, I mean, Arkansas, I mean, you know, like I said, is Van Horn even going to be there? I mean, he bailed on him yesterday, so.
What's his deal?
Yeah.
He was taking bat practice with him before the game, then he said he felt sick.
Bear, did you block Houston on Twitter?
No.
Why can't he listen to the show?
I have no fucking clue.
Damn.
I mean, I'm not going to block Chris. He was in here after he dropped.
I think, yeah. May pissed him off with all the tool talk. So, oh my God.
What is he saying? Does Houston think I blocked him?
You're getting the same text I am, buddy. Figure it out. Whatever you do, well, I don't... whatever you did, undo it, please. I don't need this. I've tried to host a show here. I don't need to be caught in your middle school squabble with our coworkers. You believe this, Justin? See, I get up with this 10:54 at night. I'm still dealing with Bear's immaturity.
Man, y'all had a great between this and, you know, all the drama with Talk Sports, you know, over spoiler alerts and everything. It's been a banner week at the station. I mean, it really has. I mean, that's I mean,
we're supposed to be the adults in the room, Justin, and I've got my coworkers at each other's throat like a bunch of middle school age girls.
Well, hey, hey, listen, Russ, I can relate. My family owns a restaurant here in, back home, and every morning I'm the only man in a kitchen full of women.
Oh, dear. So, oh, it's just Gossip City.
Well, or somebody's at each other's throat. So, I mean, you get more, you know, you get a bunch of women in a room together. I mean, shit. I mean, someone's not going to like somebody. I mean, you know, and I'm the only guy in there. I mean, I can relate. It's, you know, there's a reason why I go home and drink most nights. I mean, because dealing with that right there. So, oh my gosh. But hey, real quick, because I know y'all got to get in the bed. I do too. I do have to say something though, Russ. I don't know what's more shocking. Jamie declaring himself being a winner today. I about wrecked my truck when he said that.
You don't think he's a winner?
Hell no. He's a damn dullard.
Jamie Utah is a big loser.
No, I just, oh, stone cold loser. Stone cold loser. And, wow. And then, but I don't know what's more shocking, that or that they're having sex on the Vandy campus. I mean, seriously, I thought the last guy to get laid on that campus was Jordan Rogers.
You want to know, it's kind of shocking. You want to know the rest of the top 10 on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is the top 10 most highest STD rate campuses in America, according to the CDC. Number 10 is Notre Dame. Number 9 is TCU, Texas Christian University. The Horned Frogs, more like the Horny Frogs.
Oh, my gosh.
Number 8 is SMU, another religious affiliated institution.
First three are all religious.
Number 7 is Vandy. Number 6 is Tulsa. I mean, what else is there to do in Tulsa besides bone? I don't know.
Or tip cows.
5 is Duke. 4 is Marquette. 3 is Troy University. Number 2 is Louisiana Monroe. And the number 1 highest STD rate at 3.67%, or 1,600 people out of 100,000 have an STD at the University of Pennsylvania, a damn Ivy League school. Penn.
I'm stunned. I was figuring like, you know, LSU. Like
Arizona State, LSU,
yes,
Tennessee.
All the party schools.
Yeah.
USC. You know, I mean, stuff like that. Pennsylvania, wow. I mean, that is, some of the places don't surprise me, though, because, I mean, like, I don't know, have y'all boys ever been to Tulsa or been through there?
I don't know that I've ever been in the state of Oklahoma.
There's not a whole lot there. I mean, like I said, you're tipping cows, looking at oil rigs, or humping. I mean, that's about all you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean, and ditto for Troy. I mean, that Troy, that's really not surprising, too, because there ain't much down there either. So, I mean.
Troy's getting it in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, oh, my gosh.
I mean, are we now talking about Lower Alabama?
Yes, as soon as Troy gets in here. Hey, Troy.
I thought Trey Wallace. All right. My buddy.
Oh, I love Trey to death. He's a great guy. Anyway, guys, it's late. I got to get up in the morning. I know y'all do too. So, but like I said, I'm hoping we can play Kentucky tomorrow night and just run real them. But anyway, y'all guys have a great night.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate you, bud. I'm going to bring my guy, Logan Quinton, in here of the 920 podcast. 920 miles. That is the distance, ladies and gentlemen, from Knoxville to Omaha. We bring in LQ. And if you got any questions about scheduling and how this is all going to shake out and work and everything, Logan's probably the guy to ask. What's up, man? Has he got the wheel of death, Bear?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, no, there he is. Hey, what's going on, Logan?
Not much. Watching this Kentucky LSU game.
Who do you think Tennessee would prefer to see tomorrow?
Well, you got to get revenge on Kentucky, right?
I think so. We already ruined. We swallowed LSU's soul last year, and that was fun. But I would love to run rule Kentucky tomorrow. What time is that game going to start? Do we know?
No, time is to be determined, but it's slated to be the last one. It's slated to be the nightcap.
So it could be like a 9 p.m. because they're going to get started sooner than they did today. They were late getting started again today. But it could be a 9 o'clock or so first pitch.
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay. I can live with that.
Yeah,
it'll be a good Friday night, man. We'll have fun.
Yeah, I mean,
and then we're what talking happens? Like could 9 a.m. Central Time, Logan. Saturday?
What was that, Bear?
That'd be 9 a.m. Central Time.
This
no 9 p.m. Dullard.
I'm asking what time they're going to start in the morning.
I thought I saw
they've got a massive amount of games to get in tomorrow.
I saw 9:30, but I can't remember if that was Central or Eastern.
Has anybody said anything about all the rumors that have been online about having any of the, you know, the losers bracket games at parks around Hoover?
Are you talking about going to single elimination and cutting out the – what are you talking about?
No, no. If they're, you know, hell-bent on playing it out, Is there anything to the rumors about playing the losers bracket games outside of Hoover?
I haven't heard anything of that sort. When, you know, before this all started, I reached out to my guy Steve Robertson, who's covered the Mississippi State Bulldogs for 25 years. And, you know, this is before any weather started. We just all were kind of looking at it, thinking that, you know, it was going to be a bad situation. And he said, man, they're going to get it in, even if they have to go to Monday. They'll do whatever they can, play into the night, go to stretch this thing out till Monday if they have to. So I think that – I don't know if we're totally in the clear. Now, I hadn't looked at the weather tomorrow, but I would think from this point they would be able to go as planned and just – as it lays out and just stretch it till Monday if they absolutely have to.
I don't know. I don't like the sound of that. I mean,
he also asked him about the, you know, the regionals for next week. And he seemed to think that the teams affected, which it'd be easy to do for Tennessee because they're obviously they have that seating locked up as a host, that those affected, they would try to position for things to start a day later for those regionals.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I could live with it, but would prefer to be done with all of this on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. No, that would be ideal.
The last thing I need is a championship game happening during my show Monday. I mean, come on, Sankey. Think about fan-run programming when you're making these decisions, please. All right, good stuff, Logan. Anything else, my man?
No, I'd like to follow what, you know, Houston touched on it. These guys, you know, really jumped at, you know what's coming at you. If you're on the mound on the other side, you know this lineup's the most talented in the nation. But what really got it started, I go back to the beginning of the game, that Jorel Ortega at bat, that 12-pitch at bat. Devin Futrell, you know, through 47 pitches, which is not a lot of pitches for a starter. That's usually means that's an early exit. But to think that 25% of that came from Joe's at bat that first inning, I mean, that really worked him. And so, you know, I think it was a typical performance, but also showed that, you know, these guys can beat you in a lot of ways at the plate, not just ambush you. They can work you. And I'd also like to say that, you know, I've heard a lot about the word dominance to go with this Vandy pitching staff. And a lot of people point to the ERA. You know, they ended the season with a 3.99 ERA. That's good, but I think that's the most overblown narrative and statistic that people are talking about with Vanderbilt, because they just do not have an ace right now that you can give the ball to and tell them, hey, go get them till the cows come home. You know, they don't even have that one guy. I know Carter Holton is developing into that guy, but they, even if Holton keeps pitching like he has the past few outings, they're going to need another guy to emerge. Cause they got a lot, they do have a lot of good pitchers, but they're missing some alpha dogs. And it was great to see tonight, Tennessee, not, you know, they showed that energy. Like you all talked about at the beginning of this, they were ready to go. And I think that's a good indication going forward.
Absolutely. Good stuff, my man. Logan, appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, the great thing about all this from the Tennessee perspective for me is, you know, you see what happened to Vanderbilt, where they had this great team last year, great starting pitching, great hitting, and then they've fallen off this year, and you think, oh, man, like, I hope that doesn't happen to us. But just looking at the roster and hearing what's going on in recruiting right now and how Tennessee has raised its profile over the past 24 months or so, like, it's just not a concern, because you know that Burns, Beam, and Dolander are all back next year. You know that recruiting is fantastic. They've got this Ahuna kid coming in apparently next week for the regional. He's going to visit. You've got Burke, you've got Christian Moore. This program is absolutely loaded and getting better, if anything. So, man, we really could be, as long as the powers that be, Danny White, Donnie Plamen, and Randy Boyd, keep Tony Vitello happy, give him everything he wants from a facility standpoint, a salary standpoint, a staffing standpoint, as long as they keep him happy, I mean, we're getting set to go on a run that, who knows how long, 10 years, 15 years, 20, 25, 30 years. Like, I don't know. I mean, the guy's young.
Yeah.
He's going to be here forever.
I'm telling you, you'll probably get a kick out of this. It's one of my favorite, like, quotes from a TV show, but it is exactly how I feel. Everybody should feel about Tennessee baseball right now. It's whatever Ed Helms' character is in The Office about wishing that you knew you were living in the good times when you were in the good times. Like, we are living in the good times of Tennessee baseball.
Stop and smell the roses.
I mean, this is so much fun. So, it's a fun team to follow. Just the characters, you know, everything. It's great.
Frank is next. Go ahead and turn your mic on, Frank.
Yes, sir. Good evening, and go baseballs.
Here, here.
And also, as someone who lives in Utah, please, I'm so proud that BYU was not on the top 10 list of schools that have the biggest outbreak of STDs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit surprising. You wouldn't think, I mean, BYU, good Mormon kids, you wouldn't think they're out there boning. But, I mean, I wouldn't think that TCU or SMU or Vandy or some of these other religious-affiliated schools are having the high rates they're having. But, so, I mean, it just goes to show, you never know what people are doing behind closed doors.
It is surprising, but BYU is on a list of the biggest party schools, which I was pretty surprised about.
So what I don't understand what everybody's so what you guys are surprised about here. I don't care what's going on. Young, you know, college kids like to have a lot of sex.
They
And so, you know, I don't think it matters.
That's true, and I really don't know why BYU is not on that list, but I'm proud of the kids. But all right, so here's why I called, and this is really out of left field, but why college baseball is messed up. Why SEC or any conference has a postseason tournament? A tournament is for basketball. One game, you're gone. Another game, gone, boom, boom. Baseball is messed up because it's a series. So if you go in and you lose, you have another game and then you win. So if you win, you have another game. And then it's the most monsoon season ever in the part of Alabama that this tournament is played. So if you're a fan and you're trying to take your family to see your Tennessee baseballs play, because this may not, they may not ever be a special ever again, but I'm kind of thinking they will. But I just think it's messed up. What's the purpose? And here's my thing, is the bottom two teams get cut from even consideration, which I don't think is right. So am I crazy? But why do we have NCAA SEC baseball tournament when couldn't you just have an extra week of regular season and then assign your seedings for?
So you're saying, like, for a sport where there's so many games and you have series, it's silly to put it into a one game winner take all, you know, tournament set.
Well, you can't really do it that way because baseball is a game of, is a sport of series. So what I'm saying is, a baseball tournament is ridiculous. You're trying to get it into 4 days, but then you have weather, so you're going to turn out 9 or 10 days. The College World Series is already 11 days. But that's for real. But I'm just saying, what's important about having an SEC tournament when the bottom two teams can't even compete? So why not just eliminate it and get that extra week regular season, and then assess your seedings for the upcoming regionals, which are much more important anyway.
I don't know. It's a good question. You talk to baseball people, and you know, I've always said, if you're new to these spaces or you're new to Fan Run Radio, like, we're pretty new to this. I don't consider myself a college baseball expert. I kind of follow Tennessee. I don't know much about what other teams have, but when you talk to Vitello, you talk to coaches and players, people who've been in the game, the Chris Burks, the Rusty Enzers, guys that, like that, that we have on our show, they tell you that it's a big deal, man. There's a lot of tradition to it. And the SEC tournament, these guys love this event. And like, it's even, I get the feeling that it's more prestigious and important to them than the basketball tournament is to people in that world. So it's not going away. It is double elimination. And from that perspective, you know, you think about it, you've got, we've got best two of three wild card playoff series now in Major League Baseball. So it's not unheard of that you get down to these types of situations, but it's not going anywhere. And it's pretty fun, man. I get it. After the past 2 years, the run we went on last year and the anticipation of this year, I want to win this thing, guys.
Right on.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it, man. Kentucky ropes a two-run homer over the left field wall to go up 2-0, 2-0, as they say in the beautiful game, over LSU.
Yep.
And, the Wildcats with an early – this Hilliard guy, I can't remember what the scenario – we faced him maybe in the – was it the regional or the super regional? Who did we play last year? It was the super regional, right? We had to play them twice.
Who's that?
LSU.
In this, that was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this guy, he pitched one of those games, Hilliard. We lit him up.
Oh, like a Christmas tree.
And he's not doing much better this time around.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, Kentucky's playing pretty good baseball right now. You know, some teams, I don't, you know, the whole peaking thing we talked about, but I firmly believe that there are. Hell, look at Atlanta last year. They were horrible up until the All-Star break.
Well, bring it on, Cole Country. Come get some. You're not.
Yeah, I'd really like to beat them because right now we can't. I mean, we've kind of had to shelve one of our favorite things to get back to the coal mines.
Hello? What's up, JoJo?
Oh, wow. I didn't know I was in here. I'm sorry. I'm getting new to this.
Yeah, we slid you in surreptitiously. You didn't even realize it.
I caught my Sonic order at the drive through here. That would have been amazing.
Nice.
Ah, you joined the club with me and Russ.
Yes, sir.
So you're a Sonic. You like me, you use the drive through. A lot of people use the, you know, they pull in, they order, and they want the gal on roller skates to bring it out to them. I like to use the drive through.
It's a rookie move if you don't go through the drive through.
Well, this big old van don't like to fit in the stalls too much. You know, I don't really care to test my skills out in these tight margins.
Yeah, I got it. It can be a little tricky in
there. What's the go-to order at Sonic while we're here?
Extra long chili cheese cone with mustard and onions, tots, and a Coke.
You know what, Bear? That's me too, minus all that extra stuff and without the hot dog. I can't stand that processed hot dog.
They used to be better.
They did.
Go ahead, Russ.
I'm a burger guy. I don't dine on the swine, so I'm not a big hot dog guy. But I usually go burger, which is not anything special. I do like their onion rings, highly underrated onion rings at Sonic.
Fresh made every day.
And yeah, from there on, it's out. It's all about the blast.
Yeah.
For me, have a blast.
No whipped cream.
A little Oreo, little Reese's, something like that.
Absolutely. Love that. I do. But no, I just simply came on here to say that it's about time for Vandy to make that dreaded decision. You gotta leave Tim and Hoover. You can't. You gotta lay him down, man. It's done, you know.
Oh, they're not firing Kim Corbin. He's their guy.
Dude, I mean, as much shit as we give him, and most of it deserved. I mean, they flashed up what he's done at Vanderbilt. And sure, he's had somewhat of an unfair advantage with the fully funded scholarships and all that. But at the end of the day, he's still, I think it was, what, like 26 major leaguers, two national championships. I mean, you know.
Yeah, multiple trips to Omaha.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think
you aren't putting him out anywhere, to pass. Man. I mean, no.
He's their Coach K, but I'm not scared of him anymore.
No.
I think Tennessee's passed him by.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely not. And
like Ed Orgeron said about Alabama, every time we see them, we're going to beat their ass.
That was a great impression.
Yeah. We're going to beat their ass in recruiting. We're going to beat their ass on the field. Every time we see them, we're going to beat their ass.
And I'll leave you guys with just one more thing. Mr. Bear, Oasis sucks, and Nickelback is the greatest rock band of all time.
Wow.
Please, please.
That just happened.
Please, JoJo.
That just happened.
You need to put down the gold spray paint and get the plastic bag out of the back pocket of your pants. The Oasis, I don't care. I mean, they're not for everybody, but when you follow that up with Nickelback is the greatest band of all time, you know, hey, you got to quit sniffing glue, bro.
So you think he is riding through that Sonic drive-through like those guys in Mad Max Fury Road huffing that spray paint just all over
the
space.
Like gold spray paint,
rocking out to Nickelback
he self-described as apparently a very large van that he's driving in right now.
All right, Bear, let me ask you this. If I said, Bear, I've got $10 million for you with your name on it, all you have to do is spend an entire day, 24 hours. You have to be awake listening to one Nickelback song play on repeat all day long. First of all, we'd all do that. Don't try and tell me you wouldn't. We'd all do that.
Yeah.
What song are you picking?
Oh, I mean, I'm not very familiar with their.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We get it. You're not a big fan, but you know.
No, I don't know the name. I don't. You know.
Sing a few bars.
The one that everybody always uses in like
the photograph.
Yeah. Oh, photograph. Yeah. Yeah, I can totally do it. 24 hours.
Yeah.
I do that standing on my head. I'd be texting you about what we're going to do with the money.
Yeah, you would be, but you would also, I mean, like, think of, dude, 17 hours into that thing, like with 7 hours, you'd be seeing trails.
Dude, look, after however many years of Catholic school, 10 plus to a Bammer, being married to a Bammer, then being sick like I got sick, I can get myself into a state to completely detach myself and just go into like a fugue state.
You'd be like Raul Duke in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, looking at your dead grandmother crawling up the pants of your leg with a knife in her mouth.
No, I would be completely zoned out staring at a spot on the wall and thinking of nothing for 24 hours. I can block it out.
Oh, man. Let's get... all right. I think it's Jake, Roberto, and Scott is the order. Apologize if I messed that up. Jake, what's up? Jake, turn your effing microphone on.
Easy, Russ.
God.
There's a little bit of lag.
You guys, Russell, every time I come on, you got to use the F word with me.
Why? Why is that, Russ?
I lost my patience with him.
Russell, I thought we got over this.
It was the end of the Pruitt year. It was the end of the Pruitt year. It was a difficult time. Tensions were high. Tempers were flared.
What about now?
What about now?
You just almost dropped one on him just now.
Oh, I'm good. I was teasing. I was making reference to that.
Russell.
Come on, give me some credit. No, I'm cool as the other side of the pillow here.
Go ahead.
I just want to say your couple callers ago, Frank, he's a pussy.
Whoa.
Look, I mean, come on. It doesn't even want to finish the SEC tournament. Just, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, we're going to win this thing. We're going 10-1 against Vanderbilt tonight. I mean,
look. I mean, here's oh, okay. Go
with,
ahead.
With
Russ,
our pitching, with our pitching depth, like a lot of those concerns are alleviated to me because it's not, you know, in years past to win this tournament, you might have to start a guy twice within 5 days, and that's taxing on him not only for that second game but for the subsequent games in the NCAA tournament. Maybe he throws Tidwell again, but I highly doubt it. That we see Tidwell on Sunday. I think we can get through all of these games with only pitching the starters once. So I don't see it being a situation where we're going to be burned out next week.
I don't either, Russell. And kind of what I was going to get on here and say is, you know, do you guys see with maybe this SEC tournament going on a little bit longer, do you guys see that maybe hurting us in the regionals?
No, I mean, they said it on TV tonight. We could lose 20-0 tomorrow. We're going into the tournament as the number one overall seed.
Well, I mean, as long as I'm talking about, you know, if this stretches out into, and it may not, but say Sunday with rain, I don't know the forecast.
Well, no, I mean it's going to be the rain's done. It's just a matter of can they fit these games in. But to me, what it all boils down to, from where I stand, if we're not going to win at all, I just assumed us go home tomorrow.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel you on that. But
No,
it's like last year. I mean, if we had known that we were going to lose to Arkansas in the championship, you probably would have just shut it down sooner, but you go for it, man. That's what winners do.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that if you can't win it all, I just not put the wear and tear on, especially the pitchers. And more than the starters, because we have four and can do it like Russ was saying, but just that's a lot of work for a bullpen the week before regionals. So.
Well, I just hope we get to play Kentucky again, because I'm sitting here watching this game, and, man, I'd love to play them again. We would beat the fuck out of them.
Well, their eight fans are apparently in Hoover.
All right, guys. I appreciate it, man. I'll get off of here and let somebody else go in.
Thank you, Jake. Hey, if their fans are all down there, then who's manning the coal mine? You ever think of that? I mean,
no, that's a good question.
This iPhone ain't just going to stay powered up forever.
Yeah, but in all fairness, I mean, we can't.
Down there in Hoover aren't going to stay on forever. I mean, somebody's got to be in that damn thing.
I agree. I just don't feel like I can say that to them right now. They beat us in series.
I mean, I'm just looking out for the greater good. It's what I do. Roberto is next.
Kind of with Bear on this. We can't exactly talk shit to Kentucky. They're 2-1 against us this year.
Okay. I mean, if that's how you guys want to play.
I'm a grown ass man.
Talk shit to everybody.
I'm kind of a grown ass man. I take my meds when they need to be taken. And Bear, the last caller calling us out for our love for Oasis. Bear, there's not much you and I agree on, but that's one of them. That's probably the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard from a caller.
Greatest rock band ever.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, you tell everybody you're the greatest rock band of all time, and Noel Gallagher is just awesome. He said that once. He said, if you tell everybody you're the greatest rock band since the Beatles, half of them are dumb enough to believe you. You ever hear that quote, Bear? That's beautiful. And he's right, by the way. And they're amazing. Guys, watching this game tonight at Kentucky, I want them so bad tomorrow for the very reason that I started this with. I want to beat their freaking eyes shut tomorrow. This morning I was saying I'd rather just forfeit and be out of the tournament as opposed to play. But, I mean, we look so dominant today. I thought we'd come out flat. We did not. We came out focused. Russ, you were also mentioning this Hilliard guy that's on the mound. Actually, he pitched a hell of a game against us in the Supers last year. Until the sixth inning, I mean, he was shutting us out. I think they were beating us 3-1 or 2-1 going into that inning. So actually, he pitched really well against us last year. That was the rain game. Russ?
I'll take your word for it. I can't remember what happened. I remember there was a rain game.
Yeah, it was the first game
in the regular season series where we finished it up the Sunday morning and then played again.
Yeah, no,
I don't remember.
Speaking of the Supers, he pitched really well in the Supers against us, actually, which is surprising that he looks so bad tonight. He does not look good. He's all over the place. Either way, I think we beat either one of these teams tomorrow, as good as we look tonight. Doe is on the mound. I think Tennessee will win this tournament. If we're going to continue, as Bear said, and I can't believe we've agreed so much. I would rather, if we're going to lose and not win the tournament, I'd rather just lose tomorrow and lose the next game, not waste any pitchers and get out of there. They've been down there long enough already. I mean, they got down there when COVID started in my house, and it's almost out, you know, if that tells you anything. And I just worry. The last caller said something. Do you think it'll hurt us? And I think you were taking that as our ranking in the tournament. I think he meant, do you think the amount of time? And Russ, I agree on the pitching. It's the catcher I'm worried about. I said that this morning, but I mean, Evan Russell is sitting in there, and he's going to take a beating the next 4 or 5 days. And I mean, he already took one off the baby maker tonight. Did you notice that?
No.
Oh, did you? Oh my God. And the foul tip on the, I think it was the last batter. He got hit right in the, the appendage from Ben Joyce. A foul ball off Ben Joyce right to the appendage. I don't know. You should go out. It's the last. I'm pretty sure it's the last batter. It looked like very painful. But you
know, it went straight off the bat, hit home plate, and then just launched itself right in his junk.
Yep.
It was a shot. So
yeah, I do. I'm not kidding, because if there's one guy, really and truly, this sounds nuts, but I think if there's one guy on this team we cannot afford to lose between now and the last game in Omaha, it's him, because the fall off from him to I always forget the young man's name. First name Charlie, number 14. He has one hit between me and him and you and all you guys this year combined. We have one hit. And we're hitting .024, I believe, is our batting average. And we can't have that kind of fall off. So again, we have pitching, that's fine. We have a backup first baseman that's totally suitable in Burke. We have a backup second baseman, or you could put Steenstra anywhere. Our outfield is interchangeable. The one guy we can't lose is Evan Russell. And I am really worried that this tournament's going to do him in. 4 days behind the plate and that kind of heat, what they're going to experience the next 3 days after all this rain. I am worried about that, guys. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, that's a good point. It's got to be very exhausting. At a certain point there, it looks like we might be able to run. That's why it's important to run rule people,
yes,
you know,
when you have them
there 2 innings early.
Yep.
And thought we might be able to do that tonight, but yeah, I didn't thought about that. I mean, I guess my one thought is he's young, in great shape. Yeah, he'll be exhausted Monday, but by Wednesday he'll be fine, I would assume, if he recovers properly.
You catch a couple 103 mile an hours off your the insides of your thighs, though.
He'll be sitting on a snow cone and sweet and bags of frozen peas for the next 48 hours, but he'll bounce back.
Well, I'm actually, the reason I'm kind of, you know, this, if we're nitpicking, the one thing is we didn't run rule him, right? That's the only thing you can nitpick tonight. Our pitchers look good. Our hitting looked great. Our fielding looked spectacular. We held runners at first base for the first time all freaking season, and it resulted in a put out at second base for Evan Russell. I believe that's his second or maybe now his third put out of the whole season. We just looked great all around, and I was really proud of the effort tonight. Lastly, there was a caller that called. Oh, it was Logan. Logan Quinton. He's great. By the way, if you guys ever, his podcast is incredible if you like baseball. Logan said, you know, they just don't have the horses at Vanderbilt in their lineup for pitching now. You know why? They're all here. They're all in Knoxville. Chase Burns, Drew Beam. Those are guys that always go to Vanderbilt. Tidwell. And then you look even down further next year, the kid from Pigeon Forge, the Loy kid from Pigeon Forge, and there's another kid in the mid-state that are coming here. Yeah. They're all coming here. And that's why old man Corbin looks like he is just – he's seeing cross-eyed right now. Look at his face. Apparently he's not a horrible human being or anything. He just looks like a guy that's lost. Like he looks like a guy in college basketball. We know all these guys right now who the game has just completely passed them by and they have no idea what the hell is going on. He looks like that guy because he doesn't have his scholarship advantage anymore. NIL killed him. See ya.
Needs to call up Rick Barnes and ask him how an old man adjusts, Bear. I mean, Barnes, he's figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, but Barnes is, I don't know. I mean, maybe he should call him. Because Barnes changed the way he's done things. Either you adapt or you die, Russell.
You want to see this new Jurassic Park movie?
No, not at all. Last one of those things I saw was when the Cub was still young enough to want to go see those kinds of movies.
I went to see the reboot a couple of years ago when it was, what's the redhead's name? Is it Dallas Howard or Bryce Howard or what's that girl's name?
I thought I know who you're talking about.
Like, with,
I don't know her name.
It was okay. It was okay.
Doesn't Bryce Howard play for the Phillies?
Maybe. No, it was Ryan Howard and Bryce. Is it Bryce Howard? I don't know.
It's late, man.
It is late, right? Yeah. All right, two more speakers, and then we're out of here. Scott, and then this other guy, 2319.
I'm not seeing. Oh, it's Chad.
What's up, Scott?
What's up, Russell Bear?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Hey, before I get to Tennessee baseball, can I talk about the awesome things that you hate, Bear?
Sure. Why not?
Field of Dreams? What is wrong with you?
It's just a garbage movie.
All right.
It's up there with Hoosiers. I'm not a huge Kevin Costner fan.
I guess. All right. And
he plays the same character in every fucking movie.
I'll give you that.
It's the same character.
And cinnamon butter.
It's just awful. Oh.
I mean, Scott, when you walk into Texas Roadhouse and you see all those peanut shells on the floor and you see that basket of warm rolls glistening under the heat lamp with the cinnamon butter, you know it's go time, right?
Oh, I'm drooling right now. Just you talking about it, Russell.
Delicious.
God, oh, my. Okay.
Anything else off the list?
Oh, there's.
You give me a basket of rolls with some cinnamon butter in front of Field of Dreams or Hoosiers on the big screen, I'm a happy man. That's a little slice of heaven right there, Bear. How does that strike you?
I mean, to each their own.
Bear, there's too many on the list to go through tonight, because it is late, but we'll save that for another time. I love you, man. But anyways.
I appreciate it.
Tennessee baseball. Roberto, I really was going to piggyback on some of his points, man. And I hate to follow him up because he's an awesome caller. But we was talking about Evan Russell. You know, Evan Russell's taking a lot of crap this year, you know, all the stolen bases against him and everything. But you know, when you look at it, and if you know baseball, it's really not his fault. I can't describe it, but our pitchers really have a slow delivery to the plate. They do a great job of like picking people off and stuff, but for someone who was in the outfield his whole career and he, you know, moved to catcher, and I caught all my life through high school, American Legion ball and all that, man, that's pretty awesome what he's done.
Hey, can I jump in here real quick, Scott?
Yeah.
A couple things that we have not even mentioned today. First of all, is that really the first runner that he's thrown out in an SEC game tonight?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he's
gunned him.
I think he's only thrown out three all year.
You know what has bothered me all year long about that? And I'd love to ask coach about it, but he's kind of taken the blame for that, and it's not all on him.
No,
like our fucking pitchers do him no favors at all.
And they were talking about that today with Tidwell. It's like, I think that's kind of by design. I don't think it's because the pitchers are just negligent. I think Frank and Tony tell him, it's like, look, forget about it. We'd rather have the out. Concentrate on getting the hitter out.
And okay.
I just think that's how they approach it. Speaking of Frank Anderson, how hot was he tonight?
I thought
he was going to get tossed.
What was he?
Yeah.
What was it?
And like you said, about? Russell, it's because it was Tidwell's second walk should not have been a walk.
Oh, okay.
That was a strike. I mean, Burke, everybody knew. I mean, they showed the replay. It was it was on the edge, but I mean, it was a beautiful strike. And he called that. That's when he seemed to get hot. So it doesn't look like it takes much with Coach Anderson, does it?
No, hothead, noted hothead. Yeah, I mean, he goes from 0 to 60 fast.
Like, yeah, like I could see some anger management.
So
in his future at some point.
Well, classes. It was even. I mean, even Vitello was kind of looking. It was like, dude, like, chill out. We're kicking their ass. Like, it's good.
Yeah, he came up out of the dugout. I was like, what's? Yeah, that whole moment. But yeah, that's what it was about, man. He'll go to war for his pitchers now. So
the only weakness, I swear, on this team, man, it's like the only weakness I see is if we run up against a team that's got a lot of speeds, can steal a lot of bases, and maybe we get cold bats one night, you know. But other than that, man, this team is rolling. And I just – There's not anyone.
Still would like to see Honcho get it going a little more.
Oh, yeah. You know, Beck needs to get
going. Still would like to see him start. I mean, it just seems like he's swinging for the fences every time. I'd just like to see him just, you know, get a couple hits, man. Just a nice single or two.
Everybody else is rolling pretty good. That Blake Burke, man. Damn, man, that dude is going to be a stud.
Oh
God!
The natural
man. I love
that's what swing.
His swing is so beautiful. Oh my God, it is beautiful.
He should write Wonder Boy on his bat, Russ. It's like the natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, he bust out the lights.
He's Joe Boo is happy with him.
Yes,
Scott. Thanks, man. Good stuff.
All right, love you guys. Take care.
See you, bud.
LSU down 2-0 in the bottom of third's got the bases loaded with one out, and Kentucky's going to the bullpen. So trouble brewing in the third for the Mildcats.
Wow.
How does that strike you, TJ? Your boys are in trouble. You're in a jam here.
Hello. Hey.
TJ.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Are you in a wind tunnel?
Are you hammered right now?
Hey, y'all there? What's up?
We're here, man. How wasted are you right now, bro? He can barely speak.
You're fucking shit house, dude.
No. Hey, look.
It doesn't even sound like TJ.
Hey.
Go ahead. Spit it out. Try and string together a coherent thought for us. See if you can do it.
Bear keeps making me laugh. Hey, look, I like listening to y'all, man. It takes the sorrows of the world out for a little bit. I love listening to you guys. You guys do a good job, but you know, I hope all you Tennessee fans. I wish nothing but the best for you guys. I mean, at the end of the day, sports is sports, but I hope all y'all, you know, excel in life and do good, and I hope nothing but the best for you guys. But I got a question, and I was watching the game, and it just pissed me off. Does the Vandy Whistler have family that go to Vanderbilt or something? Because I don't think he's ever going to go away until the day that he goes into the ground.
Well, I mean, there's two of them. So yeah. I don't understand, because to me, and I just assumed back when I thought it was just that one guy that always has his hair slicked back and the sunglasses on, I just figured he was like some kind of big booster that had been, you know, a baseball booster for a long time. That's how he got away with it. It's honestly, I don't understand how the university hadn't done something about it. Like, look, you got to stop doing that. We're going to have to take your tickets away.
TJ, you know, when a Kentucky fan is calling something obnoxious, you know it's damn obnoxious.
Oh, it's damn obnoxious. It's like them cowbells in Mississippi State, man.
It's, to me, it's almost worse than the cowbells.
It's just like one guy, it stands out so much more. A cowbell, it's almost like a cacophony of sound, and you kind of just like learn to live with it. The whistler, it's like you're anticipating it, and you know, you're kind of, your neck is kind of cringing up. You're like, oh God, he's going to do it. He's going to, oh, there it is.
It's just very just jarring.
I feel like the Vandy Whistler is like the person who created OnlyFans, and so everybody flocks to it just to get attention because they can't get attention anyway else. And I think that's the only reason why he does it is because his wife don't even like him, his kids don't even like him, but he just goes to the game to whistle to get on ESPN.
I mean, they've
Vandy
got
Whistlers.
Yeah,
they've got two of them. That one guy, the main guy, Bear, you know, the dude with the Sam Elliott mustache, the really ugly one. Like, he does not strike me. I'm judging a book by its cover a little bit here, but he does not strike me as the guy with a actual Vandy degree. He just seems like a fan to me.
Oh, a sidewalk alum? Yeah.
They got the out at first.
I didn't think you got him there. Board. Yeah. Kentucky's in trouble right now, T.
Had to play at home, didn't it?
Look.
Yeah, he did.
Field to clean
hey, Kentucky baseball's been in trouble since we lost Sean Jelly to the San Francisco Giants. I'll be happy if we make this a game, which we have so far. You know, we're not known for baseball. The softball team's doing great. But you know, let me ask you this. If you had to put in, and I'll get off of this thing in a minute, cause this bourbon is really good right now. But if you guys had to put all your money in a basket and say y'all would win.
Oh,
huh?
Oh, that's a double. I thought he hit that one out of the park.
Okay.
Your game's off. You guys are down now 3-2. I'm sorry, TJ. I totally disrupted your momentum, and you're drunk to begin with, so it's gonna be even more difficult. Go ahead and try and get that.
Hey,
out
Hey, we're
again.
Still going. We're making around turn four here. If you had to put all your money in a basket, Tennessee football winning 10 games this season, or Tennessee baseball winning the national championship, which money are you? Where are you putting it?
Baseball. Easy.
Easy.
It's easy to say now. It's easy to say now. Right now, yes, I will say give me the College World Series. If you
No, you're misunderstanding the question. It's a good question. Which do you think is more, which money would you bet on actually happening? Tennessee winning the national championship of baseball or Tennessee football winning 10 games? I think it's a lot more likely that we win a national championship of baseball this year than it is that we win 10 games this fall. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I'd probably tend to agree.
Even as hard as – I don't think – people that are saying if you don't win the World Series, it's a failure, those are people that tells me really quickly that, A, they're casual fans of college baseball. Yeah. They have no idea how hard it is just to get there, much less do it back to back. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Well, not only that, but in every sport, only one team wins the last game of the season. So it's not a complete failure if you don't win that last game of the season. Y'all have a good.
But,
yeah, I mean, you got, hey, you're a great person to talk to about it because you guys have had some great basketball teams through the years that don't win it.
Absolutely.
It's just hard, man. You get in a bad matchup, you have an injury, you get in a slump, or you just run into the wrong team at the wrong time. Somebody else gets really hot and you don't win it. I mean, the odds are Tennessee will not win the national championship in baseball, even though they're clearly the best team. in the country this year, the odds are they won't win at all.
I see.
And I mean, you're absolutely right, Barrett. Like people, I think we got a lot of casual fans who are just expecting a coronation here in this postseason, and it just doesn't work that way.
It's hard, man.
Well, here's the thing about baseball, and I follow a lot of baseball groups. I played in high school, college, all that stuff. If you break it down, baseball is the most random sport. It's a stat I ain't looking to go into it too much because I don't care. But they said there every single pitch, there is over 3,000 different outcomes of that pitch in baseball that can happen. Every pitch. So baseball is absolutely the most random sport out there, period. Anything can happen.
I mean, drunken TJ starting to discuss analytics is probably a pretty good sign that we're about ready to finish this thing up. TJ, love you, buddy. Have a great evening.
You too, man.
See, that was nice that time, TJ. I didn't blow him up.
Final caller, and we're going to wrap this thing up here before the clock strikes midnight. Chad nice. Will be our final speaker here tonight. Night when Tennessee bends the vending boards over the proverbial barrel and shows them the 50 states. What's up, Chad?
50 wins. That's what's up.
Was tonight number 50?
Yep.
50.
Yep. So what's our record at 50 and 7?
50 and 7.
Damn.
Tonight was 50. Hey, you know, I want to get your guys' thoughts on something. If you don't win the national championship and you win the SEC championship right here in this tourney, which, you know, growing up playing baseball and even today having kids that are playing baseball, the tournaments just mean a lot. I mean, to the casual observer, maybe not, but that's what you've grown up doing. That's what you play for. I'm not discounting the regular season by any means, but I think that, and it's not a bad reflection, I don't think, if we lose this tournament, but I think it just adds to the accolades of the season.
I think it's Russ told me when he first tried to get me into Premier League, when he was, you know, explaining it to me. Premier League is the only other sporting league that's like that, where you'd want to win, you know, it's more important to win the conference than it is anything. That's why I hated the way the basketball season ended, but because we won the SEC tournament, I'm pretty happy, if we're all being honest. So
yeah.
Well, it's cool to do things you haven't done. And, like, I don't remember the last time we won the SEC tournament.
I mean,
I'm sure Delmonico did it at some point, didn't he?
95, I think, was what they were saying tonight when Todd Helton was on the team.
They used to split it, and there was, like, an East tournament and a West tournament. And I think we won the East tournament in Knoxville in 95 or something like that.
But it's another record that this team is getting ready to possibly break. So they're really good, man.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't even think about Evan Russell being such a valuable player as far as what's behind him. But kudos to him for having such a great season doing this literally off the cuff. You know, I mean, that's the essence of being a team player, because when you sit down and think about who else could do this, do you have an answer for that besides the obvious Charlie Taylor?
No. Are you talking about for this year?
Yeah. I mean, when you sit down and look at, like, what Vitello has done with Evan and pulling him.
He's the only one who's caught, as to my knowledge, he's the only one who's caught in a game besides Evan Russell this year.
Right. But I'm saying at the beginning of the season, and you know what your dilemma is, you've lost your catcher.
Yeah.
Who, what starter that we have currently could you see possibly putting in that position that could have had the results that Evan Russell has had? And obviously I'm not talking about the stolen bases and all that crap. Throw that in the garbage can. Let's just talk about catching Ben Joyce at 105 miles an hour. That's huge. And the entire Tennessee staff.
The only other person outside of Russell, maybe as crazy as this sounds, Drew Gilbert. Just because he's that athletic and that has the motor to be able to play catcher in the SEC. So,
but I mean, you sit down and think about like the number of things that have went right for this team. I mean, at the beginning of the season, a lot of people had kind of thought, well, they're middle of the pack, they're blah blah blah. And I know at the beginning of the season, there's a lot of juxtaposition when it comes to and conjecture as far as, you know, who is what. And until you put your horses out in the field and see which ones run, you really can't. I mean, it's an educated guess at best, but halfway through the season, you know, it became pretty obvious that Tennessee was no doubt the best and have remained there for, you know, over a month now. So when you sit back and you look at this, I guess what I'm saying is kind of like Rick Barnes with basketball, it's not necessarily a bad thing to come in preseason 14th, 15th, because really who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's pretty remarkable what he's been able to do. And I'll say one other thing about the catcher. I have heard through the grapevine that Jared Dickey, who's been hurt, of course, but Vitello said this week that I believe he's on the active roster for this tournament, but he said more likely Jared Dickey could play in the regional. He could be a candidate to be next year's Evan Russell, sliding behind home plate and catching. So
that'd be pretty cool.
Options. Yeah, he needs more options. They need to go out there and either recruit somebody in the transfer portal or something and have – because it is – I mean, damn, if God forbid something happened to Russell, we'd be up the creek.
Let's not even talk about it. Let's not even speak it into existence, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx him. And it's like I don't really want to talk about the College World Series a whole lot or, you know, this – I mean, I'd prefer to talk about what we've done than what we're going to do, but – you can't help but think about certain things beyond where we're at. But I'm like a lot of the commentators that have spoke. What is the weakness of this team? I started asking that before we walked into the SEC, just friends of mine. And you know, who do you see that can beat us? Who is it that can take a series from us? And I could see a team coming in, and obviously Kentucky was not on my radar, but I could see a team or two coming in and taking a game, you know, when we were smoking hot during the middle of the season. But I think the foul weather had a lot to do with the Kentucky deal. And I don't want to sound like the excuse caboose. I mean, they beat us, you know, congratulations, but put that same team on a weekend that is clear and sunny, and I'm not sure the results are the same.
We'll see. I mean, they're down 3-2. They got runners on the corners here. Long way to go on this one. We might get a chance at them tomorrow, man. I would prefer a chance at them, but if it's LSU, we'll play them and see how it goes. Chad, good stuff, my man. Anything else?
Nah, I'm out, man. Appreciate you guys.
All right, appreciate you, man. Bear, real quickly, but a couple things. Have you seen the footage of Charles Barkley?
Yes.
Hit with a T-shirt on the set today of their TNT thing and ready to throw hands. with all of Golden State.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go ahead and fuck around and find out Charles Barkley. I don't care how old he is. That dude, I mean, he's what? How big is Barkley? 6'8"?
6'4".
No way. Chuck's only 6'4".
Yep. We've talked about this.
Yeah, haven't we?
He was listed at, he was always listed at like 6'7", but in his autobiography, he says he's only 6'4".
He's 6'4" and he plays like he's 6'10". Just one of the toughest dudes to ever play the game, but I don't know. He eggs that shit on though. So
did you go through the thread that was going viral about all his great moments on that show?
No, but that was a YouTube rabbit hole in the past year that I went down, like in the inside the NBA clips and there's nothing but when him and Kevin Garnett get into it, that's a great one to go down.
Him against the women of San Antonio is
Juicy Smollett, Smollett, whatever, that guy.
Yeah.
Hell, Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, just on the show. I think that's the best, like, live, like, in-game show in any sport is like those guys.
Yeah, it's like College Game Day with, before Corso's stroke. Was always,
It's funnier. They don't come off cheesy like those guys do, though. It's usually
College football lends itself to the cheese a little bit, but
I mean, these guys are just good. These are guys that are like just hanging out with your, like your ball busting buddies.
Yeah, they've got their own unique vibe,
and they're all really funny dudes. So that's a big thing to me. I mean, it's always, when it comes to ball busting, it's always better. It's got to be funny when you clowning your friends. So yeah, the churros. Is that the women of San Antonio?
That's a huge bitch.
It's weird. I don't know. I threw a hot dog at that guy.
Yeah, he would have beat your ass.
Oh, God. He would have killed us, dude. I mean, I was like 12 or 13 or something. And he'd have beat my ever-loving ass.
They need to go get this Hilliard, dude. He's thrown 66 pitches in the fourth inning. Bases loaded now for Kentucky with two outs. Every guy on Kentucky has a damn mullet.
Every kid, have you not noticed that in college? Mullet, you said it. We've talked about this.
Yeah, it's become fashionable, but I mean, like, I'm not even exaggerating. Every player on Kentucky has a damn mullet.
They never really went out up there, from what I could tell, out of style in the state of Kentucky. So, I mean, it's not really a surprise.
Good point.
So... How blasted was Steve? Oh. Yeah.
He's three sheets to the wind.
It didn't sound like him at first, but he made a lot of sense.
He couldn't make his mouth work. He couldn't get words out. Couldn't speak. Couldn't communicate.
That was amazing. So
real quickly before we sign off. Bear, we discussed at length today on the show. By the way, if you've just stumbled upon this, we do a daily show 3 to 6, The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Download the free Fan Run app. We'll be on tomorrow live at National RX in West Knoxville, Piping Hot Jets Pizza, whole nine yards. Talked a lot about Ray Liotta. We had, it was a rough day. A couple of music deaths today.
Oh, I knew that old boy from Depeche Mode passed away. Who did I miss?
Yeah, Andy Fletcher from Depeche Mode. I like a sneaky good band, man. Have you ever like gone back down the Depeche? Like, that's a greatest hit.
Oh, just
banger after banger after banger.
Yeah, there's a bunch of that stuff. anymore, I get on YouTube and like at night, you know, instead of when I used to like listen to records, but it's all about that algorithm. You're like, you'll put in one song that you really like.
Oh, yeah. And
autoplay.
It's pouring it out for you.
Oh, yeah. I've come across so many bands that I'd never heard of because of the algorithm. So they're all, it's all good stuff. But yeah. So who else died in the music world?
Alan White. Hilliard strikes out. Kentucky hitter to get out of the jam.
Alan White.
Alan White replaced Bill Bruford as Yes's drummer in the 70s. Also played drums for John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band and with George Harrison. Great drummer.
British, right, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Because, hold on a second. They cannot be related. That would be insane.
Who are you thinking of?
Oasis's Hello? Drummer, when they were huge, was a guy named Alan White. But I guess he's not related to the other Alan White from Yes. I thought you were telling me that Alan White from Oasis died. I was going to be like, wow, damn, really? He's younger than me.
I mean, I don't know if he played with Oasis. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he would have been much older than those guys. But
No. Oasis, the guy that Alan White that played for Oasis is like, he's just, I don't think he's very much older than you. 5 years. No, you were right. It's the drummer from Yes. So Trey met one of the guys from Yes today.
Who?
A former keyboardist.
Rick Wakeman?
I can't remember his name. You'd have to ask Surely Trey.
Surely not.
I mean, it'd be the most Trey and Knoxville thing I've ever heard. You can randomly run into people like that in Knoxville, which is kind of the what makes Knoxville unique.
Who's the most famous person you've ever run into in Knoxville?
The only holy shit moment I saw, Shaq in the, Home Depot out towards Maryville.
I feel like this is an urban legend. Everybody has I saw Shaq at the Walmart in Maryville when he was dating Hoops story.
No, I was working for a lawn crew at the time.
You're gonna, okay. I couldn't talk to him. I was honestly starstruck, but was at this high school kind of basketball tournament deal, totally unexpected, coming up the stairs of Thompson Bowling, and there standing by himself watching his daughter play was John fucking Elway.
Oh, you've told me that's it. Yeah.
That's oh my god, one. Dude! It was like, that's John Elway. Why is John Elway standing over there? It was incredible.
Yeah. I randomly was in line in front of Cuba Gooding Jr. That was kind of a weird thing. Back before he got in trouble,
you're still A-list. We're getting B-listy right there, but I'll give you A-list for Cuba Gooding Jr.
Well, I mean, I worked at the arena for a long time, worked concerts there, so I don't really count all those.
Yeah, that's not...
That's not randomly running into somebody famous. I mean, I've been to New York a bunch. I mean, you randomly, you'll be walking, and if you walk in New York, you can... I mean, if you keep your eyes up and not down at the sidewalk, I mean, you'll see all kinds of famous people.
All right, so tomorrow, LSU or Kentucky, we'll talk about it on the drive.
Absolutely. Trey Should Wallace. Be
a humdinger.
T-Fair Friday.
Yeah.
National RX.
End the week strong.
It's been a solid week. This week's gone by pretty quick. It's Memorial Day weekend, man.
Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Monaco, the Indy 500.
and the SEC champ. We got a championship to win. We drink from the keg of glory, my friends.
Fandy boys, Russ.
We're going to keep this keg on ice. Still plenty left. We took it easy tonight because we know we're in it for the long haul. This keg can stay good for another day or two.
Oh, yeah. It's like fresh. When you get to Bonnaroo on Thursday night, you got to take it easy on Thursday night. You can't just go hard.
All right, bud. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, brother.
See you guys. Fan Run Radio tomorrow, The Drive, 3 to 6.